Bible is the word of Almighty God. Therefore, it does not need to be defended, only understood. The purpose of this program is to present to you, our viewers, the key to understanding the Scriptures. There is within the pages of the Bible itself a God-given design for studying the Bible. All the confusion that exists within Christianity today is the result of two failures. Number one, ignoring God's design for Bible study, and number two, failing to believe what the Bible actually says. We remind you of what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5:18, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall abide forever." We're instructed in Romans 3:4, "Let God be true, but every man a liar." We are informed by 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And as well, God tells us how to study His Word in 2 Timothy 2:15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rather dividing the word of truth." That's God's design, rather dividing the word of truth. Not according to your liking, not into verses you want or don't want to obey, but making distinctions where God makes distinctions. Obeying that portion of the Bible that is specifically addressed to us today. Now, here is our teacher, Pastor Thomas Bruchet.
Hello, and thank you for watching another Message of Grace program. It's our privilege to have this opportunity to come to you and share with you some things from God's Word. And today I'd like to share with you from Genesis chapter 4. A lot of times we get into Genesis chapter 3 where Adam and Eve sinned and that began the fall of mankind. And then that leads to everything that we need to talk about, and that is salvation. Chapter 4 of Genesis has to do with the first two men that were born and some decisions that they made in their heart, which I think is pertinent for us to talk about as well. Because everybody who ever lives has to make some decision in their life concerning God, and sometimes we ignore those decisions and avoid those decisions, mostly because we don't think that we're really going to be held accountable for making a decision. And when you read Genesis chapter 4, you might start getting a little uncomfortable because it will explain to you why it is that you maybe have avoided considering God and the way of God, the way of salvation. But before you could ever be saved, you need to know that you need to be saved. And that's what Genesis 3 makes very clear, that Adam and Eve were told not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they ate and they sinned, and God said they would surely die. And spiritually they did. That is, they became separated from God because of that sin. But Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 promised, as God went and found Adam in the garden, hiding in his own covering of sin, that is, he sewed fig leaves together and went and hid, and hiding from God's presence just didn't work. God found him and put him, made him accountable, and Adam then began to realize that he had a need for salvation. And God said in Genesis chapter 3:15 that God would put a division between Satan and himself. And he says it this way in Genesis 3:15, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." And that is the first prophecy in the Bible about a seed of a woman that God promised to come to destroy Satan's head. But also that same verse talks about a seed of Satan that's going to come along. And all of this will culminate in the second coming of Jesus Christ, where Satan's seed will be ruling the world as the Antichrist, and Jesus Christ will come down and defeat him and put him away and destroy him once and for all. It's also a prophecy of the cross, in which the Lord Jesus Christ suffered at the hands of Satan and man who was inspired by Satan to crucify Jesus Christ, and he was definitely bruised on that cross. But the cross is also the means by which Jesus Christ has defeated Satan and Satan's power over man, as here in the garden man falls into sin. And all the sin that came into the world and death by sin that came through Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ by the cross has been able to become a complete payment for sin and put away sin and undo everything that Adam destroyed in his sin. And so that begins us in our Bible study. Now, you know, in our Bible we say many times that the Bible must be rightly divided. And it's not just us that says it. That's 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. And when you do that, there is a way when you look at the Bible that you see that there are dispensations in the Bible. And a dispensation, it just means God administrating His rule upon mankind in different ways throughout different times. For instance, His rule upon mankind in the garden is different now than how He's going to rule mankind after the garden. When man was in the garden, he was in innocence. He didn't know good and evil. Now that he's out of the garden because he has sinned, he knows the difference between good and evil, and now God's administration is different toward those men. And sometimes we call that the dispensation of conscience. After the flood of Noah, there comes a time in which God begins to structure government on the earth and the nations are formed, and we call that the dispensation of human government. Then those nations turned from God, and God raised up Abraham, and we begin with Abraham, and we call that the dispensation of promise, because God began to make promises to Abraham and to his seed after him. Then along later, God adds to that those promises the law, and by Moses begins the dispensation of law, where God began to regulate and dispense law to the nation of Israel. We live in what Paul calls the dispensation of the grace of God, where God has set Israel aside, turned to us Gentiles in His grace, and has postpone the coming wrath in order to dispense salvation, the preaching of the cross, beginning with the Apostle Paul, unto the Gentile nations, and to all nations can be saved through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. But after this age is over, the law is going to culminate in the judgment of wrath that's going to fall on this earth, and that'll be God's wrath against those who broke His law and those who ignored His grace. And then the next dispensation will begin. Sometimes we call it the kingdom, a good term for it, because that's the gospel of the kingdom is all about the future kingdom when Jesus Christ returns and rules and reigns for 1,000 years. It's also the new covenant to Israel that God promised coming to fulfillment. And then there's yet another dispensation, the eighth dispensation, that Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 1. It's called the dispensation of the fullness of times. And in that period of time, the Bible says God's going to gather together all things that are in heaven and in earth, even in Him, and gather it together in Christ. And God will be all in all at that time. And Jesus Christ will be head over all things in pure righteousness, and the whole earth will be redeemed and reconciled and everything restored to what God would have it to be, what He initially planned on making all things. So those are the dispensations in the Bible, and we're looking at one here in Genesis chapter 4 that we've called the dispensation of conscience. I'll explain that in a moment. But let's start reading it. It says, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstling of the flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell." In the introduction here, we immediately start out with Adam and Eve and having children, and in the process of time, these children are grown, Cain and Abel. They become grown men and now become responsible to approach God in the way of a sacrifice. Now, when they do this, sometimes when we read the Bible, we don't realize that they had some knowledge about some things. All we're doing is reading the historical events, but there's hints throughout the Bible that would tell us what they knew. One of the hints is found back there in chapter 3 of Genesis, that after Adam sinned and sowed fig leaves together and then hid from the presence of God, that his nakedness, he could not hide it, and his sin, he could not hide from God. And God made a promise there of salvation, as we just talked about. But then also it says in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 21, "And unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them." And what God did is He told Adam and Eve and made very clear to them that their own covering for sin wasn't good enough, that He had to make for them a covering for sin. And that covering to them is in the form of an animal sacrifice in which God provided then a covering, a clothing for their sin, waiting till later, till there was actually a reconciliation made in behalf of them by the Lord Jesus Christ, until He Himself atoned their sins once and for all by dying on the cross. In the meantime, they were to cover themselves and their sins by an animal sacrifice. We know that's true because when it comes to Genesis chapter 4 and hear Cain and Abel grow up and become men, that they know to come before the Lord and bring a sacrifice. We don't know it from Genesis chapter 4, but if you read the book of Hebrews chapter 11, even the book of Hebrews chapter 9, you'll find there that Abel, when he brought a sacrifice unto the Lord, he brought it in faith. That is, faith is always believing what God said. And therefore, there was a communication that was given from the time of Adam, an understanding that in their sin, for the covering of their sins until the seed of the woman come and would make a complete payment for sin, blood had to be shed of an animal, and then that would be their clothing, their covering for sin, until the Lord Jesus Christ died, and then we would be clothed in His righteousness as the Lord Jesus on the cross would take our sins upon Himself. And then today we're told that when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, His righteousness is given to us from God, it's imputed to us, and we are, as the Old Testament book Isaiah 61:10 says, clothed in the garment of salvation and covered in His righteousness. And that's what we have today as a covering for sin, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, being found in Him, not having our own righteousness, but His righteousness. But until then, they were covered by an animal sacrifice. And apparently, and not apparently, but because of what the Bible says, that Abel brought it by faith, then Abel knew that what passed down from his dad, from Adam, that they were supposed to bring an animal sacrifice unto the Lord, a blood sacrifice that God has required. But we also know that from Genesis chapter 4, that it says that in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. The previous verse said that Cain was a tiller of the ground, or the next verse says, it says in that verse that he was a tiller of the ground, and that he and then brought of that ground an offering of the Lord. That offering, according to verse 5, it says, but to Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth and his countenance fell. God didn't respect that. Why? Because it wasn't the sacrifice God required. Now, God required a sacrifice because later He's going to reveal that without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins. And that in the law and the sacrifices that were in the law, those were types and shadows of the Lord Jesus Christ who would come. And Jesus Christ wasn't a piece of fruit that grew out of the ground and was offered to God as a farmer's sacrifice unto God. The Lord Jesus Christ was a living sacrifice, who gave His life and died and shed His blood, paid, and His blood was the payment for our sins, the atonement and the redemption of our sins. And those animal sacrifices of old were a picture of that, and God would later reveal that, but from the beginning they were told to bring an animal sacrifice. Now Abel, who was a man of faith, according to the Bible, he brought what God asked, and not only the offering, the firstling of a flock, but also says of the fat thereof, which is always used in sacrifices as a thanks offering unto God. It was a way of acknowledging the blessings of God to us. And it says, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Now my point to you is that there is a respect that God has for Abel because he sees the faith first, and then the sacrifice because that's what God required of them. But when he had not respect unto Cain, because Cain in the first place didn't come out of faith. Cain says, well, I am a tiller of the ground, and I'll bring the fruit of the ground that I have raised, and I'll give that toward the Lord. And the Lord didn't have respect unto Cain because he's not coming by faith, and then he didn't receive his offering because it wasn't the offering that God required of them. Now, the next verse tells us, not only did that verse tell us that Cain was very wroth and his countenance fell, that is, his thoughts toward God, his thoughts toward his brother, his attitude in life totally changed here, because he's mad at God for God not receiving the offering he brought. And sometimes we have to stop and remember, now wait a minute, who's God and who's man? And who makes the rules? And God does. But Cain's countenance fell. Verse 6 says, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doeth well, shalt not thou be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Cain was at a decision point in his life. The Lord says, why are you so mad? If you do well, won't you be accepted? In other words, Cain, now that you understand, you brought something that I didn't ask for, something that I'm not going to have respect to, why don't you just go and bring what I have respect for, and won't you be accepted? And the answer for that is yes, God would have accepted him. But you know, the Bible also tells us that that only by pride cometh contention. And what's working in Cain, and his countenance fallen, and his anger is there, is he's mad. He's mad at God, he's mad at his brother, because his brother got accepted and he didn't. The spirit of jealousy sets in, anger sets in, and all of that is just the fruit of pride. And he's filled with pride, and when the Lord challenges him just to do right, he also warns him, if you don't, sin lieth at the door. That is, you're going to be given over to sin, and that's going to be the way you're going to go the rest of your life. You're going to be held accountable in your sins. And so the Lord left him a choice. Now, we call this the dispensation of conscience because Adam and Eve, they sinned. When Adam and Eve sinned, they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when you come to Genesis chapter 4, men know good and they know evil, and there's a choice to make. And one of the things that come about because of Adam and Eve's sin is all men are sinners. That's why they need to bring the sacrifice in the first place. Back here in the book of Romans, there's some things about this time period, I think, that will help you understand what's going on. In Romans chapter 5, it talks about what Adam brought into the world and then how Jesus Christ redeemed man from the curse that Adam brought in through sin, and redeem man from his sin and from bondage and from unrighteousness, everything that Adam brought into the world. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin was not imputed when there is no law." Now, this verse makes it real clear that death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Once Adam and Eve introduced themselves and began to understand the knowledge of good and evil, what they didn't realize is they couldn't help but do the evil. That evil, when they knew about it, they performed it. They sinned. And now death passed upon all men because everybody who was born now has a knowledge of good and evil and has done wrong. And so death passed upon all men. But it also says that the law, that sin is not imputed when there is no law, and there was no law given until Moses. But it says, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come." That is, their people sinned from Adam to Moses, but they didn't sin like Adam. They didn't totally break a law that God said. There's some things that they know, but there's not some written law that they absolutely have a standard that God said, don't do this. But at the same time, they still are sinning, and death is coming to them because of their sins, and they're going to be held accountable for their sins. Well, how can I say that if the Bible says that sin is not imputed when there is no law? Well, God's not holding them accountable as being lawbreakers, but here's how God's going to judge them according to Romans chapter 2. It says in Romans chapter 2, which talks about the day when God is going to judge men, and he says that there is no respect of persons with God, so you can't buy God off, you can't bribe your way out of it, you can't use your credentials and somehow God's going to let you off the hook. God's going to judge everybody. And he says, "For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law." God doesn't need the law to condemn someone. "And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law." If there's a law there, you'll be judged by it. It says, "For the hearers of the law are just before God." For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. "For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing them witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing and excusing one another." Now that's how God judges someone who lived without the law. Is their own conscience, they knew the difference between right and wrong, and then they made up excuses and they're excusing and accusing one another. Which, without even a law there, shows that those people know that there's some right and wrong. And they've done the wrong. And they're accusing one another, and they're excusing their behavior. And that's exactly how God is going to judge them. He knows the secrets of their heart, and he will judge them according to the law of their heart that they've broken. Now, that's why we call that the dispensation of conscience. They're under a conscience to do right. And here, back in Genesis chapter 4, Cain is starting to think about this, and he's starting to decide that, no, I'm not going to bring the sacrifice God required, not the sacrifice that God told me to bring. He doesn't want the sacrifice I brought. Well, I'm not bringing another one. And he doesn't. Sin lied at the door, and that's exactly what took over in his life. As we go through the rest of the chapter, it says in Genesis 4, verse 8, "And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Thou art, and now thou art cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth." You're not going to be able to grow things that good anymore. They're not going to yield a full strength to you. You're going to be a fugitive, you're going to be off running, and you're going to be a vagabond. You're going to be a vagrant in the earth. Cain said unto the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth and from thy face, and I shall be hid in it, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me." Now, here he is realizing that he's driven off the face of the earth. You realize the earth's been populated some degree now. We don't know how many years this is in, but Adam and Eve had other children, and now he's going to be driven off from society. And then when he's driven off in society, he's going to be a fugitive and a vagabond, and he's going to be cast out not only from the presence of other people, but from the presence of God. And that is the payment of sin, is to be cast out of the presence of God forever. Well, Cain says that's too much for him to bear, and the Lord at least sets this mark on Cain that no one can take vengeance on him, but God will. It says in verse 15, "And the Lord said unto him, Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any find him should kill him." That is, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. And no one is to take vengeance on Cain. God has put a mark on him, just as there's going to be a mark on people in a future day who line up with the seed of Satan and receive his mark. And those people who receive that mark, according to Revelation chapter 14, are going to receive the vengeance of God. God will revenge. But now, notice what Cain does, and this is what I want you to understand, is there's decisions we have to make in our life. First of all, you've already learned that you're a sinner because you fell in line with what Adam and Eve learned in chapter 3, that we've all been disobedient to God. We've learned the knowledge of good and evil, and we've all chosen to do evil at some time or another in our life. Now we come to Genesis chapter 4, and now we have a conscience of sin. And what are you going to do with your sin? Are you just going to accuse someone else and make yourself look good? Are you going to excuse your sinful behavior and think somehow God's going to overlook that and not judge that? Or are you going to come to God the way God said to come? He didn't tell you to bring an offering. God provided for you an offering, a sacrifice. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is the way, the truth, and the life. The Lord Jesus Christ became the payment of sin. And God wants all people to come to Him today through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what you have to decide in your life, you're right there where Cain and Abel were. Are you going to come the way God has prepared for you, the Lord Jesus Christ, or are you going to ignore that in your stubbornness, in your ignorance perhaps in your self-righteousness, perhaps in your own pride, that you're not going to look to the provision God made and you're just going to ignore it? Here, if you do, look what happened. Look what Cain did in order to make himself okay in feelings toward God. It says, "And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch." Now, Enoch means teacher. And he begins to teach what the Bible calls the way of Cain. And now Enoch is now taking and propagating Cain's way in the earth. But what did Cain do? Well, God said you're going to be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. The earth's not going to yield his strength to you. So what he does is he builds a city. And from this point on, in a city, you know what a city is? It's a group of people getting together and they meet each other's needs. Cain can't grow anything, but if you got other people growing, then you can just buy their goods. And you can have other people serve you and help each other out. There is a pride that happens within a city in the sense that a city helps each other, and you begin to think that there's nothing we can't handle when we stick together and work things out. You know, it's always been true that country folk seem to have more of a knowledge and awareness of God and count their blessings and realize God is the one who brings everything up from the ground and feeds everyone. People in the city get the idea that food comes from a grocery store and that man, if there's any illness, a doctor is going to solve it. And if there's any complication, well, if we can't afford something, the government will pay for it. Cain built a city in order to ease himself from the guilt that he bears with for turning away from the way of God. And he builds this city as a way of protection, man-made way of solving all of his problem. And socialistically, he's thinking that, well, there really isn't a problem that I have in life, that everything will be okay, I'll be protected. And as you go down through this list, you begin to find out that they begin to develop the arts to glorify man. The music is there. They begin to make tools and ironwork so that the ironwork would supply for man to be able to do the ground if it's hard to till and break up the ground, or to prepare weapons in order to protect himself, or to go hunting with those weapons so that he can supply food for himself. And all this is being done so all this material things can be brought into the city and they can share the wealth, and then they can start thinking to themselves, I really don't need God. And you know, that's what I'm worried about, that we live in a society in which we have so much help from the different arts and from the different sciences and from mankind helping each other together, that we begin to think that, well, we don't really need God. Therefore, I really don't need to make a decision about Jesus Christ. And I'm here to warn you that you better not get deluded from the truth that you do need to make a decision about your salvation. And you need to know that Jesus Christ is the way. And you need not be like Cain. You better be like Abel, who comes to God in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we hope this program has been enlightening to you. Our desire is to establish your faith upon the truth. Only then will you experience real liberty. The truth shall set you free. If we can be of any further assistance to you, we would love to help you. Or if you would like any of the free literature you see on your screen, you may call or write Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Our phone number is area code 810-778-5032. Once again, that's Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Area code 810-778-5032. Thank you for sharing this time with us. Join us again this same time next week to learn more about God's message of grace. Until then, this is Daniel Schulert speaking for all of us at Grace Bible Church, praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe.